From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we're on the Forum for the Fans, the Big Blue Roundtable, defensive end episode. Going to talk D-ends, D-line, the shebang, man. Chris, what's going on? How's everything, man?
This is a busy week, bro. It's been a busy week, man. In Giant, in NBA, in NFL, it's been busy, man. I hope we can fit all this defensive end talk in.
We definitely are. We're gonna grade all these guys. I'm looking forward to. I had a chance to go back and watch a lot of the games from this past season, and really evaluate how they played versus certain teams in the within the division itself, and then the rest of the league. And you're right. Going back off the Super Bowl, I know people may have some thoughts about that. And I told you guys the Patriots were going to win. And it is what it is with that team. And I hate to say congrats, but it's really special in sports. Like Dominic said on one of the stakeholders, I mean, it's a great run, man, for that Patriots team. Any thoughts on the Super Bowl or the Patriots winning? What's your thoughts?
I'll just be kind and say that, hey, this will go down as a very, very, probably the most defensive of all Super Bowls on either side. That's what I'll say. But in reality, and I can say this because my team didn't really have a horse in the race, not either way. But I will say this. That is the first Super Bowl I have seen since probably when I was a kid. And I'm talking about the Cowboys-Dolphins Super Bowl here when I say that. That's the first one in a long time that I ever got up, walked around, did other things, had a conversation. Because it just didn't. Super Bowls normally key you in and lock you into the suspense, the excitement, the odd plays, the amazing plays, and this and that. And that one didn't do it for me like that, bro. And I wasn't trying to be critical or pick it apart. I was anticipating, the excitement like everyone else was. It just didn't crap me, man. But, hey, you know what? If you're a Patriots fan, it did. And also the other thing I thought that was amazing is that I saw a scope of Mercedes-Benz. Is that what it's called in Atlanta, Bayou, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Huh?
I've never been. Is that what the stadium
Mercedes-Benz
is called?
Mercedes-Benz Stadium, what?
Yeah, I saw a scope of it, man, during the game. They had one of the websites had a big scope on, overhead view from a blimp on what the crowd was like. And I got to tell you, I didn't see very many Rams fans, not as many as I thought. They didn't come out representing hard like I felt. You know, which is what you do when your team is, alive in the Super
Bowl.
They
don't have no fans. They don't have no fans.
Well, that cleared that up then, because I didn't see very many. And I said, what is this? Where are they? You know, I thought that was pretty interesting. I saw more Giants jerseys out there, 56 and Barkley jerseys than I saw anything else for the Rams. I thought that was interesting. But that's it. That's my take on the game. That's the Super Bowl.
Let me look at this. I was going to
say
this about the defensive line episode, defensive ends, defensive line, however you want to say it. B.J. Hill, Dalvin Tomlinson, Josh Morrow, Kerry Wynn. If you want to sprinkle in Mario Edwards Jr., give me your thoughts with those guys as a whole before we bring on the stakeholders and
my thoughts.
Really, overall. Because we're going to grade – this is how we do every season. I mean, every offseason.
Right, we do.
We grade them individually, and then we grade collectively as a whole, and we put it on the website. Because
this is the time of year
you need to do your research.
Yeah.
Study
well,
up and
the
do
thing
your
is,
research.
The thing is with me, Steve, is a little bit different this year, though. Last year, though. Because to me, they look like a work in progress. And admittedly, when Snacks left, I thought they were playing backgammon or checkers with the lineup, the defensive on the defensive line. So my thoughts right now, before they change anything, before the draft and the trading and wheeling and dealing starts, right now we have a real big stud in B.J. Hill, our third rounder from last year, who finished with a bang. You know, I'm looking at the depth chart right now. I always have the depth chart with me whenever I'm talking about our team. And, you know, he's listed as a 3-4 defensive end, man. But, you know, after Snacks left, man, he was moved all over the place. But he starred everywhere he was at. You know, he played all the games. He started about, correct me if I'm wrong, 13 or so games. You know, he had about 6 sacks, a couple of pass defenses. His size and his leverage and his disruption ability is outstanding. But what I really, really appreciated about him was for the first time in a long time, we had a real, you know, other than Snacks, which is, you know, dead center. I loved his run defense. I loved it. I loved it because I thought he needed work on it at the beginning of the year. But as the year progressed and as the teams were better, you know, the competition got better, you know, he was more consistent, and I loved it. I loved it. So he's right now I would consider him our stud. Morrow, he was there. He showed up and gave us a body. That's what it looked like to me. You know, I remember one sack he had. I want to say it was against Chicago. I could be wrong. I didn't really see much, Steve. I'm sorry. I really didn't. I don't have a book on Morrow. I watched him, but he didn't show me enough to get excited. He sort of like filled the spot up as soon as he came from Arizona or wherever he came from. Okay. Kerry Wynn was Kerry Wynn, man. In fact, this is probably his best season. It's probably his best season, man. He started a few games. Everybody knows that Kerry Wynn always has that great combination stuff, man. You know, the size, the strength, the athletic ability. He's probably a better run defender than a lot of people think. You know, he doesn't have that dynamic quickness, but he's consistent, right? But and also, you know, he could play the middle. He could play nose tackle in pass rush situations. He's good. He's a lifetime fill-in that'll give you some flashes again and some excitement here and there, but if you're looking for a stud, he's not. He's just basically a really, really good contributor. Let me be kind by that. After that, man, I don't know. Mario Edwards, let me see.
Come on, man, come on. We got the stakeholders over here.
Oh, sorry, shoot. Let's go to the stakeholders. Let me do this announcement too, bro. I'm sorry. What the hell am I doing?
I drifted.
I'm a giant. I'm a giant. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and everywhere. The Bleed Blue Show, man. 929-477-4171. Steve and Chris. Defensive end episode. Where's Lit? Lit.
What's going on? Hey. Talk
sorry
to you. Hey, Matt.
Sorry to Azul and everybody. I'm sorry. No.
Hey, you know what? It's a good day today because we're all 0-0s. You know, it's a new year. We're going into that. You know, we've got a lot of behind the scenes going on. And as you know, Steve, Chris, Eli's got many, many years left, so it's all good.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew That's a new line.
Looking forward to getting your opinion on this, man. Looking forward to your opinion on the D line this from 2018. Looking forward to your opinion on this. Can't wait to hear your perspective.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Lit, I'll be right back.
All right, well, no worries. I'm here.
Yeah, stay right there. Where's my man at? Where's the big one? What's up, Frank? Frank. Yo, Frank. Okay, Frank, you're going to be there. Okay, we'll be back to Frank then. Kristen, my love. What's happening?
Shout out to Chris. What up, Kristen?
Hi, guys. How are you?
All right.
What's going on? How you doing?
Tonight?
Good. I can't
complain. Are you ready?
D-line.
Yep, I'm ready for the D-line tonight.
Hey, listen, I got to
say
something.
Yeah, you picked them, so we're
going
to get to it.
Yeah, yeah, and also I got to tell you, I want some of that food that you've been flashing up on social media, please. I saw you.
I
see your skills. I see your skills. Okay.
Right, might not see anything for a while. I just got hacked, so I gotta shut everything down. Right
oh, I
now.
Hear you. I hear you. I got the same issue. All right.
But yeah, I'm definitely ready for the D line tonight. Let's get it.
All right, let's get it.
Yeah, like let's start off with me, man.
Yeah.
Let's start off with me, man. I'm looking forward to this episode.
Let's start off with you, Azul.
Right, right. I love trenches. Like, it could be cornerbacks, safeties, running backs, tight ends, quarterbacks. I don't mind going last or wherever you pick me in order. But when it comes to the trenches, O-line, D-line, this is my language. I love talking trenches. Let's say, you're right, Chris. You said at the top. I'm gonna start top level, and then we'll get all the rest of the stakeholders involved. Mm-hmm. And then I'll, as this episode goes on, I'll get into each one individually. And you kind of stole a lot of the thunder with B.J. Hill. This is a work in progress, and we got to remember they went from a 4-3 to a 3-4 unexpectedly last off season. So I we did the draft show, and remember we nailed a lot of these draft picks that was going to be in this 3-4 front. So
we did.
B.J. Hill has played better than I thought he would. I thought he was probably the best defensive lineman that we had, and that's after Snacks Harrison. You got to put a caveat. Harrison was the best run stopper of the bunch before he got traded.
Yep.
Hill, who came along from North Carolina State in the system, they breed defensive linemen. I'm actually liking what North Carolina State is doing the last couple of seasons, what they're bringing to the table with NFL quality defensive linemen. But nonetheless to say, man, B.J. Hill, especially since Snacks Harrison got traded, he's done a good job as far as coming off that edge. He's a big guy. The quarterback. Getting to the quarterback was his specialty, but he was the better of the defensive linemen than any of the guys we had. Morrow, Tomlinson, he was the most consistent one. But with that said, if you're going to play a 3-4 front and you're outside linebacker, and we'll get to that episode in the future with Olivier Vernon, you know, we're going to need a little bit more from these guys as a unit, because I think there's a lot to be said with them. They got killed against the run this year, and that's even after the bye week. So a lot of teams ran the ball well against the Giants. The Giants were, I think, 22nd against the run this year. It was not good. I think that's a lot of it is language. A lot of it is lingo with James Betcher's defense, the defensive line coach. I would like to see the Giants, if they're going to play against the run, keep it to around 100 yards, 100, 105. They gave up almost 120 yards on the ground last year, the game, which is like, you know, 22nd, 21st in the league, something like that. And B.J. Hill is going to be better. I like that. A lot of them did play. A lot of them weren't, like, significantly hurt. B.J. Hill played 16 games. Tomlinson played 16 games. We thought, you know, I thought he filled in okay. Harrison left the team to the Lions. When Morrow came back, he had that one flash game, and I think everybody had a dominant game versus that Redskins in FedEx Field. But you got to take that with a grain of salt, because the Redskins were really piecemeal with that offensive line. They were banged up.
Yeah.
That was their best game as a unit. Morrow, you know, off the four-game suspension, a lot to be said. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to bring him back. And like you said, Kerry went out of Richmond for the last couple of seasons. This was definitely his best season. And then Mario Edwards whatever he could bring to the table, need a lot more. And I think we're going to need a lot more in the draft, starting with the defensive line.
Yeah.
So I'm going to withhold my grades individually and collectively.
Okay,
if you
want
to go right now, feel free. Or if you want to go to Lit, however you want to do this.
Nah, we'll move it around.
Definitely like B.J. Hill. Thomason, then you could do a little bit more, especially at that nose tackle position. So where do you want to go with this?
Right. And also, I'm going to go to Frank next until Lit gets back. You know, the thing is, you got to remember, we're going to probably add at least two strong bodies there within the next few weeks. I just want to make that as an addendum. But, you know, we're going with what we got today, but I just know.
Two strong bodies?
If you know Gettleman, he'll find a way to work out on his two. He's like you, man. You know, if you was a GM, I know you'd be looking at the hog mollies. That's what he does. That's his thing, and it's just going to be a matter of time. I don't think this is a finished product. I don't know what he's handling. I mean, what he's thinking about. But he's the GM. He's the one on the phone. We'll see. But I know we're not gonna go into this year looking like this. That's all I'm saying. So 929-477-4171. You're listening to the Bleed Blue Show. This is the defensive end episode. Frank, are you back yet, man? Frank is either on.
He might be just listening in. That's why.
Might be listening in. Well, Christian, you heard everything that Azul said, and you probably caught me at the top of the show. So, what you thinking? What's your take on a defensive end situation here, player by player?
I do like B.J. Hill. Mm-hmm. I like B.J. Hill. I do like Morrow also, but these guys also need work too. You know, they're just starting out with us, so it's gonna take some time. Like everybody said, we're building, but I do like B.J. A lot better than I thought he was going to do also this year. You know, he had over 5 sacks. He had over 40 tackles. So, so far, so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid's good. He's a big body guy. So, I don't know. It's something that we need. These are the guys that we need. But we just need work. We need some fine-tuning. That's all. Kerry Wynn, he's also good, but not as good as I thought he was going to be this year. Mm-hmm. Honestly. I don't know. I really do like Morrow. Morrow showed some promise, and then all of a sudden he kind of just fizzled out a little bit. But these guys need some fine tuning, and we need somebody to. We need that nose tackle. We need that center to be jammed up.
Right.
That's what we got to do. We got to start jamming people up. So.
I'm glad you said that.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I think we're going to have – I think we have a star there that's just going to blossom in that position.
Absolutely. That's a huge issue.
Who is that?
I'm looking at Dalvin Tomlinson is just getting better and better and better.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Are you both a – hold on. Are you both are a believer that Dalvin Tomlinson is going to be this anchor at nose tackle, especially against the run? Do y'all believe that? Because I have my thoughts on that. I just want to hear you guys' thoughts. Because that was going to be my question.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but it's a possibility.
Yeah.
We need a big body guy.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be quick, and you've got to block that middle. You've got to. That's your only job. Block the middle. Jam that up. You can't let anything by. You can't create any cracks or crevices, and that's a big issue for us. So, I mean, I'm not 100% sold, but, yeah, I mean, it could be possible. It's a possibility.
Right. I agree with Kristen. You know, I mean, look, he was in the – like we talked about earlier, Zul, you know, the three technique thing, you know, he was in that. But when he got moved to the nose tackle after Snacks left, he showed himself. He, you know, this is where you get exposed. And actually, even though he's average size, he proved to be really strong. He proved to be really tough. He's a good run defender. I think, and I like the way he was able to disrupt everyone, the opposing teams, opposing lines, I should say, later on in the season. Now, you're not going to get any sacks out of this dude. I think his thing is run. You know, he's not a pass rusher. He doesn't have the quick feet like that. But can he be a run stuffer in that particular position and for a consistent time? Yeah, I truly think he can. I don't even remember. I'm not sure. I don't have any stats or nothing like that. But I don't remember him getting a sack. But I'm not saying he didn't. I don't remember one. But I do know one thing. He likes to. He's strong and tough enough to challenge opposing large opposing
mm-hmm.
linemen. And that's what
mm-hmm.
his specialty is. I think he's a run stuffer. Run stuffing is his specialty. That's what he was only asked to do by Nick Saban, and he brought it here like that. So to answer your question, long and consistent, I think he could. But if you go ahead and leave B.J. Wynn on one side and get him a better supporting cast on the other side, yeah, he'll be here for a couple of years. And he had a lot of time to learn, and this is the reason I think he was progressing as the year went on. he had a lot of time to learn under Snacks, you know, these little tricks. So something's there. Something's there. It may not look like a finished product, but he's on his way. He's coachable, and he listens, and he's dedicated. So I'm going to give it to him. I like Tomlinson. I really believe in this kid. That's just me.
I like him. I'm not sold as him as a straight up nose tackle, and I don't think the Giants are. I think the Giants are comfortable with him at nose tackle. I think that could hurt the Giants long term if they played this out. Because the reason why I say this, and I understand what you're saying and why you're saying, don't get me wrong, I get it. The Snacks Harrison thing, I think, caught us all by surprise. And I think that was more of a business move than anything. Besides the fact that the team was not doing well before the bye, and contractually you want to get money off the books. Snacks Harrison was an older player. What, Thompson's was 6-7 years younger.
Yep.
And you're right about the point as far as he got to learn under him or learn behind him. Mm. I just looked at, and particularly after the bye week, him getting moved off the ball, it's like hit or miss with him. He's good at tackle. He could get behind the – there's times he could get between the guard and the center, create space with his arms, and make the tackles for loss versus certain running backs. But I look at it also from the standpoint of within our division. I know that's, what, 35% of the games, whatever it is, when we play those 6 out of 16 games. So – when I look at him against a Kelsey or Travis Frederick, I see them dominating him. Now we always talk division on the show. We always talk 6 games. You want to at least to get the 4-2, and right. You have other teams like the Cowboys and the Eagles in your division with Pro Bowl elite Pro Bowl centers. I see him struggling against those guys, and I see us struggling with as far as the point of attack. Dead middle in the trenches when it can go against him. Don't get me wrong. No tackles. I don't expect him at all to get sacks. And I don't think he even had any. And that's not really why he's there. His job is really to clog the middle and collapse the pocket between the guards and the center. And he does that decently, but there's times, especially after the bye, it could look suspect as far as run defense. That's why the Giants, it took a little bit of adjustment. And maybe I should give them the benefit of the doubt and be optimistic in James Betcher's 3-4 defense. They are learning a new system. I'm willing to be patient with it. I'm just not as confident. Because when I think of an old tackles, maybe I'm old school. I'm thinking of Sam Adams. I'm thinking of big mountain of guys. That's
wide body guys.
Vince Wolfert type of guys. Vince Wolfert type cats. I don't see him as that. And if you're not that cat, unless you're like a smaller defensive lineman, I hate to bring up his name. You guys know my favorite defensive lineman in the whole entire league. Unless you're that cat and you're that quick, Thomas is not that quick to be taking on 2 guys. I don't think
he's not.
I just really don't see it. So
he's not.
What is the plan? Here's the question. So what is the plan for the Giants in year number 2 under this 3-4 with him in particular? How do you see that?
That's the mystery. That's the mystery. Because we can't go on. Oh, okay, I'll tell you what. Before I even answer that, here's my question I had earlier for you. What happened to the guy I had hopes for? What happened to McIntosh, man? Because I know he had some kind
of
injury that they – well, he's listed as a defensive end. But he played, I don't know, maybe 5 games, and he didn't really do much, man, which was crazy because he had sick athleticism, and he's good size.
Well,
and I don't know what happened.
RJ McIntosh, that's a guy we talked about before the draft. And his career at the U, he was a project, and he was a risk taking on. I think bringing him on the practice squad, him being, you know, listening to him as hurt, whatever, got him on the sideline learning to go. You don't want to throw somebody like that raw. He's not a finished product. He's raw. You want him to kind of, you know, watch from the sidelines, watch behind. You know, there was other guys in front of him on the depth chart. You had guys like Kareem Martin and Josh Morrow before the suspension with the whatever it was, the PEDs, whatever you want to call it. You know, it is all the same to me. 4-game suspension. So it was his time to kind of sit back, really absorb the defensive play. But who knows what he's taking in at practice, at the Quest Diagnostic Center. They probably have a plan for him. I expect them to have a plan for him. I mean, he got drafted, and I thought he had a decent season at Miami before he came to the Giants. And I think that's part of where I was going to go with it in this episode, because we cannot forget about him either. Let me ask Chris, Kristen, what was your thoughts as far? What is the plan? What's the plan for the Giants? How would you plan for Thompson in the second year in the 3-4? Like, how would you schematically use Tomlinson or prepare him going into next season? At least we get say that they're all these guys, or these guys have been durable. They ain't been out significant time. But what's your plan with Tomlinson in particular?
Well, just try him out. This is what we're going to have to do. These guys are going to have to learn this and start with us and do the right thing, like B.J. Hill. You know what I mean? These guys are still rough around the edges. They need work. Everybody needs work. Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, McIntosh was good when he was playing with college, but he really didn't do anything that really stood out for me at all, really. Tell you the truth. Yeah, he's a big body guy, but it's like, what are you really doing? And you're still wet behind the ears, too. What are we going to do with him? There's a lot of questions, but like B.J. Hill, I think we should start him maybe in the middle, for instance. I think we should. Try people out. Tomlinson, try it. They're just going to have to move people around and see how they do.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're going to do if they don't sign any more players, Steve. That's where I'm at with this. This cannot
Because everything's kind of up in the air for everybody.
Right.
You know, there is no set in stone, this is your position, this is what we're doing. It's not really set in stone. We got to see what's going on. So we've got the draft and all this other stuff, people leaving, people coming and going. So we don't know yet. It's way too early, but it's all going to be, let's try this guy out here and see how he does.
So, if, you know, after B.J. Hill and Dalvin, right then, you start. Well, no. I'll give Kerry Wynn some love here, but after those three, you got nothing but question marks. And I know, and these are good guys. I'm pretty sure there's some love in there, especially with McIntosh, the guy that I picked last year to just break out. And I'm sure Mario Edwards isn't done yet, but I do know that this is an unfinished situation right here on our defensive line. And to your point, Azul, which is absolutely correct, in order for us to compete even division-wise, we have to have a solid defensive line. And maybe we don't have to have studs there, but at least it'll help to have a stud or two. And then, you know, and we can bounce from there. You know, it's a really difficult situation right now. But if we hope to look, I look at it like this. We thought we were in good hands at the beginning of last year, maybe a year ago now. Okay, we came off a 3-win year, but then the NFL gave us a championship schedule. Almost everybody on that schedule was lights out. Okay, but we improved 2 games, and we were in 5 others, you know. So, you know, actually these guys are standing up pretty well, but they still need polish. They need, technique-wise, nobody expected B.J. Hill to just jump off the charts like he did, and he did well. He's going to continue that, too, because he just put the NFL and everybody else in the NFC on notice, you know. Nobody expected, and this is funny, nobody expected Kerry Wynn up his game like that. And that was good. But I'm also very, very satisfied to go back to this one last time, but not to belabor it. I was very satisfied with Dalvin Tomlinson's improvement, you know, particularly after Snacks had to roll out, because he held it down and he competed. And everything you said was absolutely correct. He is small to me. for that. You know, he's gotten pushed back a few times. Yeah, I saw it. Because he's average.
Oh, absolutely.
Strong, tough, good run defender. That's what we need. He disrupts plays. And I like that. You know, not consistently yet. He's gotten flashes done, though. And I don't take that. But if that means he's going to get better, then I'm satisfied with him right now. As long as they surround him with a supporting cast that can toe the line just as well. So yeah, I'm pretty good with Snacks, and I'm pretty good with BJ Hill. And I don't know how long Kerry Whitten is going to stand up, but I'm hopeful. I am hopeful, and I'm going to get off this subject now. I'm hopeful that Mario Edwards and RJ McIntosh are the real thing. I'm not counting Miles Humphrey, and I don't know who else is on it. And I'm also not counting Morrow right now, bro. I'm sorry. I'm just not. He's bounced around so too many times. I don't think his head was here when he got here. I'm not really sure what's going on with him. And then the PED thing, which sends a signal to me that, hey, he wasn't ready to begin with, and he needed help. Okay? And we just don't get down like that in Rutherford, man. You know? And so I don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see. That's just my take on it, and I'm off the soapbox. And I'll let you guys have it. And I want to remind everybody else, 929-477-4171 is the Big Blue Roundtable, and we're talking defensive ends tonight with everybody that has the stakeholder badge on their shirt, on the jerseys. So there you go. Done. Azul.
I just don't see it, guys. I mean, I understand what you guys are saying and being optimistic, but, you know, I'm looking at ways to improve this defense. Like, when you're 21st in the run against the defense, yeah. I mean, you could look at it half the glass half full, half empty, because on one end you could say, well, this is a 4-3 front that went to a 3-4, basically with guys who've been in the league 2 years and under. Is that good? Mm-hmm. Maybe. It ain't like it's dead last. That's one side. But on another side, it's still 127 yards a game. So how do you improve on that? And when I look at 3-4, I mean, there's a philosophy, or there's a ideology, how you want or how do you envision a 3-4 versus a 4-3. It's not too much of a difference, but the main difference has always been for me is your traditional nose tackle collapses the line. He takes on the double team. 3-4 guys usually sets up things for linebackers. I don't want to, you know, it's a domino effect. So do I think these crop of defensive linemen are going to be able to do that for linebackers that we have? I'm going to say no. As of right now, I'm going to say no. Unless we have a total impact guy that's a defensive end, like a See, when I think of 3-4, and we'll get to the pass rush aspect of it as well, but run defense especially is more of my concern, because I don't see these guys. See, I don't see these guys as against the pass elite. They're not elite. I mean, they're good. They're serviceable. They played every game, and I thank them for making every game. But when I think of a 3-4, I think of like Dwight Freeney type cats. You know, I think of Tasmanian Devils coming off that edge. That type of impact as far as pass rush to get to the quarterback. If you have to heavily rely on your Wills or your Sams, your linebackers, to make plays after the quarterback, you're almost kind of predictable in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because opposing teams are like, well, B.J. Hill only had 5.5 sacks. You would expect it to go up to at least, 6.5, 7 next year, projecting if he stays healthy. I mean, that's serviceable. It's not all about the sacks, but I'm just looking at for tackles, because the Giants got gassed last year, and the division, the only running back we have to really worry about is Ezekiel Elliott on paper. The other running backs, I mean, even Adrian Peterson's old ass had a little bit of a success in that first game, and that was when Snacks was there, and then they wore us out. At the line in that October game, they wore us out, and that was a prime example of a team where the Redskins line, I don't think they're in the elite line anyway, and that's before all their injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought they're a team that kind of wore on our defensive line all game long, And maybe that's part of it because the offense couldn't get off the field or whatever. But I'm not as high as this, you know, I don't know what kind of things they can do to, you know, put a Band-Aid over the wound. I have question marks. And then the thing about this B.J. Hill, Thompson, if the D-line was elite, they would be probably your third or fourth best players. If they're my top guys, I'm not comfortable saying that, guys. I'm really not.
Right. That I totally agree with that. Right now, and I'm going to – where's my word? I'm going to be kind. What I want to say is right now those are building blocks that we can work with. But B.J. Hill is a third rounder for a reason. Thomason, third rounder for a reason. They were expected to contribute highly, but not be the stalwarts or the rocks of this kind of thing. We needed to, so this is what I'm telling you too. If I got a blackboard right now and I'm breaking out all the areas. I mean all the positions, defensive ends, linebacker, safety, et cetera, et cetera. I'm looking at the defensive ends now, and I'm saying to myself, in order for us to get on, to be a playoff team, to be a contending team, to toe the line, to not get gassed in the third quarter of every game, and so that we can get a second win in the fourth quarter like we did in all 16 games last year, which was weird, I'm going to need some studs here. At least one more, okay? One more that understands all the intangibles that you just said, Azul, all those intangibles. A guy that is not only a run stuffer, but also that he understands pass defense well. Because it's the other way with B.J. Hill. I don't think he's a good run defender. But the other two are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You got a big shortfall there. You need someone else. Where do we get them from? I'm not sure yet, but I do know one thing. It's something that does, to your point, Azul, it needs to be addressed. And your point too, Kristen, it needs to be addressed this quickly. We need somebody that's going to understand the defensive line immediately. That's going to come in and fit in, not someone later on in training camp. Oh, he looked good there in mini camp. When I saw him in the first practicing with the first team, let's get him in here. I think and do this pie in the sky wish shit. It needs to be someone assured of giving us victory at least five damn games.
Absolutely.
And if you say five games, you're talking about at least two divisional ones. So that's what you need. So yes, Azul, to your point, if I look at this, I'm not excited at all. There's nothing going up my back going, oh man, we going in there. We're going to be busting some ass in our division. No. I see B.J. Hill really starring. I do see my man Thomason getting better, but I got to stop there. I really do. And that's where I'm at. Unless you guys see something else when you've already expressed it, that's where I'm at.
All right. Kristen, what about anything else you'd like to add or –
we need an elite, and I can't stress it enough, elite edge rusher.
Yes, we do.
And
absolutely.
A pass rush. Desperately. Once these little parts start falling into place, everything else will come. Then we can figure out where we're going to put everybody. Like I said, everything's still up in there. We need a lot of work. We need a lot of work. O-line needs work. Defensive line needs work. We need a pass rush. We need these edge rushers that are going to slap these guys out of the way and get in there.
That's right. And
we need to be aggressive. We can't, you know, you start off strong and then everything. No. We can't do that anymore. We need people that are hungry like LT used to be. That's your only job. Get to that quarterback. That's the only thing you can do. Put your hands up. These are basics.
Right.
And if you can't
do
the basics, then I'm telling you, we're not going to get anywhere. If you're not passionate enough about your position and know that position inside and out, it's not going to work.
That's right.
Everybody's got to fall in a slot and belong somewhere, and we still don't know where everybody really goes. That's my
take
on it.
Well, I don't think
I really don't know where everybody's going, so I can't really strongly go with one play or another. You know what I mean? I mean, I have hope, and you know, and I'm optimistic about certain players, but I mean, that's all I got on it because everything's up in the air.
Exactly.
I think it's a little bit more than that, though. I think there's a little bit more than that with the D-line. I understand what you're saying about passion and bringing it. I don't think that was the issue with these crop of guys we're talking about tonight. It really comes down to skill. Is that guy that guy? I don't think these guys are – we're asking elite pass rush out of these guys. I don't think it's these guys. Like Chris said – these guys were, what, third, second-round draft picks, complimentary type pieces to a guy that we don't have.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't not – I think their effort was valiant, but it is it has a ceiling to it. These guys, me, those guys that we're like Giant fans are screaming for, and to your point, Kristen, of all the deficiencies, and we're going to cover it all season, every week, one area, going to have one topic, linebackers and cornerbacks. Of all the issues we have with Giants, that is the number one issue. It ain't the quarterback. Ain't the wide receiver. Mm-mm. It ain't the linebackers. The number one issue for the Giants is a pass rusher, or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
That is the number one issue. And I've been doing my studying for this 3-4 defense. I don't know who he is in this draft. And I know it's a little bit early on, and there's
a
lot more.
I'm glad you said that.
You got to get to the combine.
I'm glad you said that, Mr. Thundertaker, because I'm telling you, I'm listening to you two, and I'm writing notes, and I said to myself, I'm going to bite my tongue because I am not bringing up any draft choices this show or any show until we get closer to the draft. But I got my questions, and I got my people that I'm thinking in college football would make a difference later on. But I'm not going to do that right now. I want to stay on the topic. Mm-hmm. But that will have to be addressed immediately. Immediately. I know we
it
have
has
other concerns.
To be, it may have to be through trade. It may have to be through trade or free agency. In college, I don't see that guy as of right now, especially in the 3-4. I don't see him.
I
don't think you could just take a guy in the 4-3 front, like a guy like Allen from Kentucky. I don't think you just plop him. I don't see that fit, like that natural fit at all. I just really don't.
I'm not trying to talk college guys. I want to, but I'm not trying to. I see a few people, but that's another show. We don't stay there, but listen. And you know what? I got to tell you, Azul, they're all in your backyard. Almost all of them, anyway. So, yeah. Look, the bottom line is this, and we have to all agree on this. That has to be a top priority. And if it has to be via draft, so be it. I don't know who's the big free agents out there. I was just looking at college these last 2 weeks or so, you know, going over
let's get,
those.
Let's get Litt's thoughts on the defensive line. Litt, what's your thoughts individually, collectively? Are you confident what we got with these young crops, or what's your thoughts on this, man?
Well, you know, Steve, sorry I had to go, but I'm back, and I appreciate you bringing me back. Thank you. So, listen, I don't really know what was covered by all the stakeholders that called. Steve, I know that you are an expert.
It doesn't matter. What do you think?
Don't
worry about what we think.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, listen, you're an X's and O's guy, so I know you've broken down film. I'm more of like the have fun kind of guy, you know, casually watches film. But just in my opinion, I think that depending on what segment we talk about, whether it's defense, whatever, it's going to be, for me, the same conclusion. We were very limited on money. We were kind of just put together on paper to fill holes. Mm-hmm. We've probably got players that you might say are good, for example, but they're not going to be back next year. All they were here is maybe to be a mentor, someone to compete with, make them better. But I think the reality of it is, unfortunately, David Gettleman was given a limited amount of resources. He had to make do with what he had to do. Yes, there were some shining moments. I think, you know what, dude? I think Kerry Wynn, to me, for today's position that we're talking about, in all honesty, I would give Kerry Wynn the MVP of the position that we were talking about today. I mean, he also played special teams as well, but I think Kerry Wynn really, really, really balled out. But, you know, like I said, Gettleman was dealt a hand, limited resources. He brought in a guy like Barwin, Josh Morrow, knowing where they came from, what their discipline was, and just try to make it work. So, again, I don't think a lot of the players that are on this team this year, minus Lorenzo Carter, B.J. Hill, maybe Dalvin Tomlinson, maybe a name that I didn't hear you mention, will be back. But we're going to have another overhaul, and hopefully this time we really hit pay dirt.
Mm.
That could hurt us, can't it? Wait a minute. Whoa. That could hurt us. If you have a are we talking defensive line overhaul, or are you just talking about roster overhaul? What do you mean by overhaul?
I'm just talking about, like, you know, we do have our futures in place, but, you know, we are going to, again, have probably an overhaul of maybe 3 to 5 players on today's position players that we're talking about. I don't think Josh Morrow is going to come back. Connor Barwin's obviously not going to come back. I don't know about the guy that took Avery Moss's number. Help me out with that. He's number 91 while Avery was on.
You're talking about Mario Edwards. Edwards, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, again, we're gonna have a revolving door until we find the right pieces. We just put
That's
a product
good.
Out on the floor. What?
That's not good. I don't like that. No, I mean, I like what you're saying, but I don't like that if that is the case. How can you get continuity when you have an overhaul?
Yeah, see, I'm just saying we just try to fill in the holes as necessary. You know, D Ford a linebacker or defensive end? Help me out, Chris. D Ford.
I'm sorry. I'll say it one more time. I'm sorry, bro.
You talking about D Ford from the Chiefs?
He's the outside. I thought he was a defensive end.
DN linebacker.
Yeah.
DN linebacker. Yeah,
that might be more DN. That might be a prospect we might go after. But, again, I mean, I don't see Josh Morrow coming back. I don't see Mario Edwards possibly coming back. There's just going to be a little bit of an overhaul. But all we did was we just put bodies out on the floor to cover what we needed to cover. He was dealt a bad hand. He's going to move forward, put the right pieces in place. But, you know, like I said, I think Kerry Wynn was your MVP of today's discussion.
All right.
Do you believe in – well, one more question for me, and then we'll go to Christian. Do you believe in James Betcher, the blueprint on laying down the foundation, particularly for these defensive linemen?
Steve, you know I'm kind of a – you kind of know I'm like a negative Nelly, and I'm going to answer that with I don't think so. He was dealt an amazing hand in Carolina. He doesn't have a Honey Badger or a Patrick Peterson. But as far as what he gets, nah, I don't see it. He doesn't have a Calais Campbell. He doesn't have Chandler Jones. He doesn't have there's a few others that left the Cardinals while he was there that signed with their teams. He doesn't have those pieces in play. He might not even last his contract. He could actually be signed by another team as a head coach. So my answer would be no, Steve.
Kristen, what about you? Are you a firm believer in James Betcher? Particularly looking through the eyes of the defensive lineman.
It's really too early to tell. It's still too early to tell. We got to do a lot of shifting. A lot of people have to try to fall into place, and they're really not. I don't know. This thing is all over the place. I do like, just to add to what the last caller was saying. I do like Wynn. He's a big body guy. He needs work, though, definitely. But I do like B.J. Hill over Wynn. I think I like Hill more.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know. To me, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't really get a good read on Betcher last year. I didn't. I got to tell you, Steve, the way the season started, and we were so involved with the players and their performances last year, that I really forgot that Betcher was even there, man. To a certain point.
Great point.
You know, he it's almost like he wasn't even there, man. Normally you see a defensive coordinator really demonstrative, you know, jumping up and down, you know, in faces and all of that. And for a minute, I forgot the guy was even there because the Giants just seemed to be going through the motions for a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one game that stands out was the first Eagle game where they seemed like they were gassed in the second quarter, and while they were out there, there was no communication between them in terms of how to you know, execute.
Well,
and I remember saying to myself, "What are they doing? This is not South Shore High School. What's going on?" And it seemed like there was no one there to corral them, to bring them together, to say, "Hey, look, this is how we're going to do this." There was, for a while there, I got to tell you, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know really what. And then you gave me the numbers, you know, 21st against the run and this. You know, they're not really working this. And, you know, and the whole episode we're talking about right now is about really two guys that we know are going to be there and going to be contributing, maybe three. And then everything else is a question mark. So that brings the question, what's Betcher's job?
I'll add on to what you said earlier in this episode, Chris. I think they have a plan. I think they do have a plan for RJ McIntosh. And I think that's where Christian is going is we'll have to see. I do think there is a plan for him. So I'm going to pencil him into the mix for training camp as far as getting some snaps. Or if I can see him on the field for about 55-60% of the snaps next year, I think that's an improvement. And I think this is going to be more of a get the job done by committee. It's not bona fide, elite defensive lineman that we have. I think it's going to be a rotational thing, and we're just going to have to do this as a unit. And I think that's the way this roster is as of right now. And what Litt was talking about as far as overhaul, and if that happens, that's a disaster for the Giants because that's not the plan you should have in place when you're changing defensive fronts from 4-3 to 3-4. You should not do that and then talking about overhaul, you know, because overhaul was Snacks Harrison. You traded him to Detroit. You're talking overhaul right there on the fly mid-season. You should be already at phase two beyond overhaul, fine-tuning this whole thing. So let's get to before we get off. Let's last year's performance. We're going to give not individual. We'll do it an entire grade by the unit. Kristen, we'll start with you. If you had to give it grades A through F, the defensive line as a whole, if you want to go individually, you're free to do that. Remember, we're going to put this on our website for the masses to see how the stakeholders evaluated each area of the team, defensive linemen, cornerbacks, running backs, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. What would you grade this unit as a whole, defensive line?
A through F?
A through F. If you want to go individually, each player, feel free to do that, but definitely as a unit.
As a whole, as a unit, I would give it a D.
Hmm.
Okay.
Took my thunder.
I'm sorry. Wow. We could share.
Thank you.
Why D for you real quick? Just a quick line. Why D?
I feel like I should have a recording of Rihanna's work right now. Because that's what this team works. I'm telling you. I just need to press play every time. Just soundbite that real quick. Work. We need work.
Yeah, okay.
This team needs work. You know, everybody needs work. There's nobody that can sit there and wow me right now. Nobody in the defensive line can say, with that, yo, I'm telling you, he's got potential. The kid's amazing. He's fast. He's had umpteen stops. He has, you know, record-breaking season. Nobody did any of that.
Nope.
So for somebody to sit there and grade this defense – Yeah, if anybody grades higher than a D, we're going to have an issue tonight. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's get Liz's thought. Give us your grade as a overall, as a unit.
Well, you know, I'm a little nervous to say this, but I was going to say, and I'm being generous, a C-minus,
C-minus.
Okay. I mean, I give it a C-minus because there was heart. It wasn't like, all right, man, I'm just here to get my game check. There was heart. They tried. But C-minus for today's topic all the way around.
All right, Chris, what about you? And then I'll
I'm going to be quick because I'm going to take a little bit from both of them, Azul, and I'm going to say a strong, 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 strong D. You know, they had heart. They stood up the best they could. They did not wet the bed. But yet, you know, they are who they are. They're a middle-of-the-road type of defense right now. That only the ceiling is still up there, and it's the opportunity to reach it is there. That's all I'm saying. That's it for that.
Oh, yeah, right before the episode, I had him at a D plus. Was going willing to curve it up to a C minus because it's a new unit, new system, and I kind of get it. I have to give it the benefit of the doubt, but I think we're kind of all of us on the same accord. Lit, one more quick question for Lit. Lit, what topic next week you could pick any area of the team, running backs, cornerbacks, linebackers. Where would you like to go next week? We'll let you pick the topic and go around for final thoughts.
Steve, I appreciate that. I would like to divulge into the offensive line, please. May I take the offensive line
trenches
category?
Man, they're getting the trenches out early this offseason.
They're called the New York Giants for a reason. You're absolutely right.
Hog Molly's Volume 1, Hog Molly's Volume 2.
All right. So let's go around the block.
Lit, here's some final thoughts from Lit and Kristen, myself.
Real quick, we got some, as far as football stuff, we got some things kind of be going on pretty soon. You know, some decisions will be made. But on a side note, Steve, I'm hoping that this might interest you. Big Blue of Arizona is doing a group event when the Yankees come to town, May 1st.
I saw that.
It's Wednesday. Oh, you did see that? Okay, yeah, all-you-can-eat hot dogs and pretzels, popcorn. Obviously, alcohol is not included, but we are going to be sitting in group seating on the left field side, and it'll be a good event. Probably about 30 or 40 people will show up. Love to have you come out.
All right, cool. Shout-outs to Lit, man. Chris, you may have to make a trip to Arizona to see the Yankees not hitting runners in scoring position.
I digress and will not
no
answer
small,
that at this time.
Ain't no small ball in home run or die out there in Arizona. Home run or die.
There you
man.
Go.
No, I was just playing. It's a regular. It's a May game. That's a May game. So they'll hit like 80 home runs.
We'll
when
see.
It gets to October, they'll choke. All right, Chris.
Kristen.
Your final thoughts.
I don't know. We need some good defensive tackles too, I think. We need guys to knock down that pass. We need guys to get their hands up. Just fundamentals. I just think we need to like start over. Start from scratch. Let's do the basics. You know, fire up that grill on Sundays. Let's get the camaraderie going. You want to know why New England's defense meshes so well? And I hate to say it. I really do, but I just want to put it out there. Because they trust in each other. Nobody on this line trusts in each other right now. Nobody does. There isn't any order. There's no rhythm. So once these pieces of the puzzle start to fall together, everything's going to come full circle.
Right.
So that's it. And I want to pass rush.
Hello?
Edge rusher.
Oh,
absolutely.
All right.
That's it.
Cool.
But
okay.
Lee Blue, everybody. Thanks for having
Lee
me.
Blue,
guys.
Lee Blue, Kristen. Lee Blue Lit. You know, listen, this is fantastic. Look, these kind of discussions make you want to be a Giant fan because there's always mystery. There's always mystery. We're going to get better. We're going to progress. I have a faith in the front office. Remember that, Steve, take it home, baby. Take it home. Thanks for
the topic. Lit, Kristen, and Chris, Frank, myself, we'll be back next week for the offensive line, getting the hog mollies out the way.
Yes,
Sangre
indeed.
Who?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.